all of our moms here. We appreciate you and thank God for you. What an incredible God we serve that He gives us mommies. Amen. We'd be in trouble without mommies. So we want to say thanks to all of our moms here. We love you and thank God for you. Appreciate God for you. And we just want you to be blessed today. Enjoy your day. Every day is Mommy's Day. Not just today. This is just a day we celebrate it. But we just want to let every one of you know we love you and thank God for you. And we appreciate what God is doing in your life, and we pray the blessings of God over you, and then God will just richly bless you. Amen? Isn't he good? Amen. Well, my wife's going to be coming in a minute, and when she comes down here, we're going to get all our mommies to stand up. All of you stand up. She'll be here in just a moment. And we want to go ahead and recognize you. You got...
Are they going to bring everybody else back in? The mothers that left?
We'll have to get them. I'm trying to get them before they left.
Yeah, bring them all back in. Happy Mother's Day. Isn't it a pretty day?
Amen.
Myself, I wasn't going to do this. I was thinking the other day about what a mother is. A mother that I was thinking about is a person that gives birth to a child. If you don't give a birth to a child, or a child that, you know, you may adopt or you may stepchild, that's what a mother is. But I was thinking about that I got a bouquet of flowers here, and they're all different. Some may look the same, but they're all different. And that's how God created us, all different. Isn't that good? I mean, I had two children. They're not the same. I have a boy and I have a girl. They don't act the same. They don't do the same things. I wanted to try to say this. I laid there and I had everything just rolled in my mind. How I wanted to say it. I wanted to share it. But, you know, a flower is like a child. That's what I was thinking. A flower is like a child. You know, a child comes from a seed. You know, a flower comes from a seed. When that flower seed is planted, or that child seed is planted, it starts to grow. At first, it's just a little tiny thing. And then it starts to sprout up. Then it starts to bloom. Well, it starts to make a bud first. And I think there's one in here that, this one right here, kind of looks more like a little bud. It still has the netting on it that they didn't take off. But it buds up. And then after, the bud, it just flourishes. And I believe that's what a mother's heart does. When I remember the day that I had Hannah, and after I had her, and we was in the room, and Jesse and I was there, and we laid her on the bed, and my heart just fluttered, just bloomed like a flower. I was so honored to be a mother. I still am honored to be a mother. Today, It's the first Mother's Day that, you know, everybody knows my story over the years. You know, for many years, my mother wasn't in my life. But the last few years, we kind of made another connection. But, you know, I always knew she was out there somewhere, you know, whether she was in Mississippi or Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, can go on and on. But I knew she was out there, you know, I knew she was there. And today is the first day that physically she's not here. But I thank God, because the last day I was able to spend with her, I was able to talk with her.
Thank you, Father.
And you know, over the years, she always said, I love God and God understands and I pray to God. We can all say that, you know, but she didn't have a personal relationship with him. But I can stand here today and tell you that the last day I was with her, that she was able to talk to me. She created a relationship with him.
Thank you, Father.
I thank him for that. Because 7 days later, Sister Justine, 7 days, not 7 years, not 70 years, 7 days later, she's resting. I'm saddened, of course, you know, saddened, but I'm also joyful.
Thank you, Father.
Because I know one day, I said one day, when that day comes, she's going to rise up and meet her Savior.
Thank you, Father.
And I'm so thankful for that, because this wouldn't be a good Mother's Day today for me. Because if I wouldn't have had that chance, I wouldn't have had that chance. It would have been very, very sad for me. But I'm joyous today. I'm crying. Of course, I'm sad. But I'm joyous to know that one day, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for all of our mothers here today. Amen. We're so blessed with all of our mothers. You know, we just had Koinonia, what, a week ago. And if it wouldn't be for all the ladies and men, we wouldn't have been able to do it. But you know, without mothers, we wouldn't have men.
Oh.
Amen?
Men. What am I gonna say?
So I'm going to ask all the mothers to stand up and come up here at the front. We have a little something for you.
We'll hand them out for you.
Okay. There's three different questions. Some kind of skip. Some in between, Brother Josh. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not doing it right, I promise you. Praise God. Thank you so much. That was nice, Charlotte. Appreciate that. What a great God we serve. Isn't he good? Well, we've been talking about the grace effect. How many know the grace of God is what we must have in order to be saved? For by grace are ye saved through faith. Remember that, for by grace. Can I do anything to gain the grace of God? I can do absolutely nothing at all to gain the grace of God. Grace is God's free gift to us. We didn't do anything. We cannot do anything. If we put all of our best behavior together, all the times we think we did right, we add it all together, it cannot gain the grace of God. Why? Because grace is given no matter what I've done. He gives me grace. Now, I accept the grace. That's how I'm saved. I accept that grace in my life. So who can have grace? Whosoever will shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the grace is God freeing me from the second death. I mean, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, the second death that he talks about, we are free from that if we're under grace. Are we still going to die? Of course we're going to die. But when we die, he said, yet shall ye live. That living is what happens because of the grace of God. So when I'm resurrected, I'll be immortal. I'll live forever and ever and ever with the Lord Jesus, ruling and reigning with him. It's absolutely amazing and incredible. And I'm so thankful for God. And I appreciate what he does for us. And I want to say to all of you here that I appreciate you and thank God for you. I'm thankful for what God has given us and the freedom that he's given us to go into his word and to learn from his word. Isn't he good? He's absolutely amazing. Well, we've been talking about this, went over a lot of stuff last Sunday, and we're going to look at just a quick small review here on some of the points that I was making. Number one, I started out, the law blesses, which those, if you obey, and curses those when it means disobey. It blesses us when we obey, and we are cursed when we disobey. And so we have to keep that in mind. If we obey, we're blessed. If you obey the law, is the law harmful to you? But there's been something that has been put in the minds of people that the law of God or the rules of God or regulations of God somehow don't mean anything today. But it doesn't, not all of them. We're very selective when we want to accept some of the rules of God. You know, if God would have never put a rule in place that states that when you take somebody's life, when you murder somebody, that it's bad, how would people ever know that was bad? There would be no understanding of that. He said, that's what we need the law for. We need the commands of God to tell us what's wrong. When God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, if he would have never mentioned that, we wouldn't know that. So we could just serve any God we want, right? Because there's no rule. But he said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. You can't do that. So now we know we can't do that. So how many of you know that's one of the laws that we uphold? That we're not going to serve any other god. We're going to serve only God. What about when it says, honor thy father and thy mother? When it says that, if we wouldn't, that would have never been put in place, then we wouldn't. We wouldn't have that understanding. So we know that. So all of these things, and we can go through a whole list of them, especially the Ten Commandments, and we see all of those things. And we want to try to uphold those things. We want to do the best that we can to acknowledge that. They're not bad laws, are they? No, they're good for us. They're good for the people, good for our nation, good for our world to keep those laws. And so he says the law blesses the ones who obey, if you're obedient. Remember the one when he says, honor your father and mother? Then he says something about the blessing underneath there. How many remember what it said? That your life may be long upon the earth. Remember that? So if you do obey, what happens? Long life. It talks about that. So obey. If you don't, then the curse is the disobedient part. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. It says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. So he sets before us a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord, your God, that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord, God. This is not difficult stuff. You don't have to have a master's degree in theology to understand this. This is simple, simple stuff. He said, I set before you blessings and a curse. You can have either one, which one you want. And it's simple stuff. He says, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, I'm giving you today, if you're going to be blessed. If you're not, the curse for disobeying the commands of the Lord. So these are simple things. Number two, I think I went to number three. And this is just review, so I can't take the time I took last week on these three. The law defines sin. The law defines sin. If we break the law of God, that is sin. If we observe the law of God, we stay out of sin. It's simple stuff again. It's not difficult to understand. Verse scripture, verse John 3, 4, everyone who sins does what? Breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. That's what sin is. If you was in our Bible study on Thursday, you heard this, right? We was going through some questions and answers. Everyone who sins breaks the law. So he said, how can we know it's sin if there's no law? There's nothing says thou shalt not, then we don't know if it's wrong or not. That's why it's been put in place. So they're not burdensome, no grief. It's not. It wasn't put in place for us to drag us down or to set us up for failure. Never was that. But there's somehow the way we try to share the laws of God and the commands of God, we try to make it where it's in absolutely no possible way that anybody can survive under the rules and commands of God. Now, how many would think that's true? Nobody can survive under the rules and regulations of God. Nobody can make it through those things. Do you believe that's true? If it's true, then Christ, what he did was a lie. Because he kept the law. He survived through it. He was put to death, not because he broke the law. Remember, the sting of death is sin. He had no sin, so there was no sting of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? There's no victory in sting of death when there's no sin. Jesus had no sin because he did what? He kept the law. He kept it perfect. And it's important to understand that. So he's the one that we look to now. We follow the way he did it. We look at the way he did it. Should we not be looking at the Lord, Jesus? Should we not follow his leadership? Who's the pastor here? Remember that. We talked about who's the pastor. Jesus is. He's the head. We're the body, and we're to look to him. So he's the one that fulfilled everything. He brought it to its completion, and he said, here it is. So he laid it out. Did he destroy it? Did he get rid of it? No. And so hopefully you remember some of the things we talked about last week. If not, you could get it. Number three, this is what we made it to. The law is perfect. Perfect means that it cannot be made better. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? The law is perfect. If it's perfect, can it be made better? No, it's perfect. The law is perfect means it cannot be made better. Perfect means that if it takes any of it away, it is no longer perfect. Who instituted the laws? How many believe all scripture is given by the inspiration of God? Did Moses write his own laws? Was he inspired by God to write? He wrote, and so we have the laws of God. So if you take any part of it away, is it perfect? Well, let me ask you something. What part of the law did Jesus take away? He said, I've not come to destroy the law. I didn't come to eliminate any of it, get rid of any of it, but I come to fulfill it. And so we need to keep those things in mind when we study in the scripture. Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And this is a song we used to sing in church. In Psalms 119, it was a part of a song that we sing. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold. Much fine gold. Remember that song? Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. See, that was a song that there's a verse of scriptures, verses in Psalm, and they wrote a melody to it, and then we used to sing that in church. And sometimes we sing that, we'll sing that song, the law of the Lord is perfect, and then we say the law, we don't have under the law no more. You see, in the same breath. And that right now, I'm just like, okay, what just happened? You understand? The law of the Lord is perfect, but we're not following that. We got grace. Paul said, well, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we're missing it. We think grace is something new. And then we're talking about the grace effect. Grace is not new. I shared with you last week that grace, we see God extending grace to even to Cain. Because he broke the command of God. He should have been put to death right then and there. But he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a chance to make it right. Did he not? You can't bring the fruit of the ground. That's not what's required. You broke the law. But he didn't do that. Instead, he went out and he was angry and mad and he killed his own brother. See? And so then Noah. What about Noah? The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah found grace. Think about that. So grace is not something new. And I will touch on, we'll try to get more on that. Now we're going to start. This is one that we didn't cover, so we're going to, it'll slow down just a little bit. That was just to review on those three. Number four, the law is liberty or freedom. The law is liberty or freedom. Psalms 119, verse 44 and 45. So I will keep your laws continually forever and ever. I will keep your laws forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. How many see that? I seek your precepts. And this is important to understand. There was a couple other verses that I have wrote down here that I want to point out to you. Let me give you some more verses for us to look at. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25. The book of James chapter 1, verse 25. So you could turn there with me in your Bible. So we're looking at the law is liberty or freedom. That means if you walk in the law of God, if you walk in the law of God, you are free. Everybody say, I'm free. Now, I want you to understand that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? You're free. Here's what a lot of times we feel like we have to do. Well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get my life right with God. And then I'm going to be, then what I'm going to do? You have to understand, this church is not supposed to be a bondage to you or a drag to you. It's freedom. You're free from the curse of the law. And that's how you have to do it. So what's the excitement that you have in serving God? Well, it can't be because the service goes good. We done been through all that. We can't go, so, well, we need the Spirit of God to move. And that's what hypes people up. Well, let me tell you, serving God is no hype. The people who were burned at the stake in the early church, they weren't hyped up about serving God. They were committed. They had a life commitment. And that's what, they were free. That's how you can take somebody and tie them to a stake and put fire underneath them, and you ask them, are you going to renounce Christ? And they said, not a chance. Why? Because they know what freedom is. They know what liberty is. They're not going to go back under bondage, and that's what it is. When you compromise, you go back under the bondage, and you're subject to all the things of the law. You're subject to it without any grace. Grace comes in where we know we have failed, when we know we have made a mistake. God doesn't look at our failures and mistakes. That's not what moves God. Love moves God. God's moved because he loves me. And so what did he do? He looks at me and says, I'm going to grace you. I know you have mistakes, but I love you so much. Here's my grace. Now what we do, we take the grace of God and we put it on, and now we put on Christ. Christ is that. How many of you know that Christ is the Word? Oh, he is the law of God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. So he lived it out. If we're going to see the law of God alive and vibrant, we've got to look to Christ. We can't look anywhere else. You can't look to man, right? Why would I look to man when we're all in the same, we're in the same body? He said when one part of the body is affected, the whole body suffers. So who do we look to? We don't look to the body, we look to the head. That's Christ, because he paid it in full. So understand that. So I want you to keep these things in mind. He says, go to the next slide. Let me read it from here. He said, you're free, but free from what? What are we free from? Free from sin. Free from sin. He says, remember how Yeshua, that's Jesus' Hebrew name. So we, you know, I want you to understand when I say that. I have it a few times in this lesson. How he walked the law of God. Remember how Christ said to walk, how John said to you should walk in 1 John 2:6. You can write that down, go back and read it. Walk like he walked. That is why Christ is freedom. If you have Christ in you, you're free. You're free from, you say, what am I free from? All your past iniquities and transgressions and anything that might happen in your future, you're free from. You're free from that. The Bible says if we sin, and I want to emphasize the word if, because we don't practice sin anymore. We used to. That was my life. You wake up to sin. But when you come to Christ, you don't practice it anymore. But you're going to make mistakes. He said, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Who's the advocate? Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's the advocate with the Father. Just, he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not some. So when you walk in Christ, you're made perfect before God. That's why we need the grace. Grace is not something I can work for. And understand the grace effect. It's not something I can work for. But once grace, I accept grace, what my response should be? I want to obey. Right? I want to be obedient. I've been awarded all these wonderful things. I ought to show some gratitude. How many's ever met someone where they showed gratitude before? I mean, you know, gratitude is something that's it's not as popular today as it used to be. Years ago when you went out and somebody was having a difficult time and you went and helped them, and even the least little help, maybe they just had a flat tire on the side of the road and you stopped and said, hey, is everything okay? They were so thankful and grateful. I had a story told to me during Koinonia. One of the guys that I had with me on the boat said, you know, one time I was down here and I was with my boat and I met a fella in the river and he was drifting and he waved me down like that, waving me down. He said, so I pulled up on the side of him and I said, sir, can I help you? He said, I'm out of gas. He said, I don't have an anchor. I'm drifting down the river. I'm in trouble. He said, well, I'll hook a tow line to you and bring you in. And how many of you know that's when the Elsie dock used to be there? This was years and years ago. They had Elsie slip. They had the little store there. And so he hooked the tow line on him, and he's pulling him in. He's running that thing, trying to get him up on, and he's just running that gas. He said, I can see my needle going down. He said, but I'm towing him. If we get all the way to the dock, I pull in by the Elsie dock right there. I get him to the dock, and the guy just went on his way. He didn't even say thank you. No, not being grateful at all. He said, it shocked me. So he's telling me while we were fishing for corn. He said, I was shocked. I said, you mean to tell him he didn't say nothing? He didn't even look in my direction. When that boat hit the dock, he was gone. And he went, okay. He said, I'd never been able to do that. Not the way I was brought up. He said, I'd have done something. I'd have been saying, thank you. Can I pay for your gas? Something to show my gratitude. Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Well, let me tell you, we have to be grateful for grace. Because we didn't work for grace. His motor wouldn't work. It wouldn't crank no more. He was out. He had nothing to get himself in. That's how grace is. You have nothing to get yourself in right standings with God. I can't do it on our best days. Listen, you can say, you know what? I've never went in the world. I've never done drugs. I've never done anything like that. You're still a sinner. It doesn't make a difference. Don't be looking at the guy who did all that. It doesn't make a difference to God. We're all sinners. We can do nothing to gain grace from God. It was a free gift. He hooked a tow line to me and towed me in, and I got me to the dock. I need to look at God and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. What can I do? Show me a command that I can keep. because I want to start keeping those commands. How many want that heart attitude? I hope I can make this simple for you. Years ago, this was many years ago, my dad and them, they would all go out together. They'd all, so when it was foggy, they'd all meet by the slip. Remember number two slip? You could go by up there, and that was, this was years ago. Everybody lived in the village, and they had a fishing fleet. And if they'd all wake up, they'd all meet, and everybody's going to go out together. So it's foggy. And this fog is real thick in the river, but we're going to run together. We're going to go. So here they go. It's a trail of boats going, running in the fog. Well, here comes my dad along, and he's running. And he's running. He hears a voice in the distance in the fog. And that voice saying, "Help!" And he's like, so he slowed down. What is that I hear in the river? Help! And he's looking, and he sees a man's hand sticking up out of the water. And he goes up and grabs the man. How many of y'all knew that man? The guy's here. This is a true story. And he grabs that man. What happened was somehow his boat hit a wave or something and threw him out the boat. Something happened. His boat run into the woods in the river and crashed. And he was going down for the last time. Now, he couldn't save himself. But God sent somebody along the way. Reached down in a foggy day when his life was certain doom, gloomy. There were boats passing, could have run over him. He could have been run over many times in the fog. You can't see just a man's head or a hand sticking out. But then he reaches down and gets him in the boat. Well, that man, I grew up. That was a story when I was a little boy. I grew up. And I'm a teenager now. I'm a teenager working with my dad. And I don't care where we were. I don't care where it was, how many people was around. What was that guy's name? Anybody remember? Steve Zaw. Steve Zaw. I don't care where we were. I say, this guy comes running down the dock in front of everybody and grabbed my dad and hugged him and saying, "How you been doing, Mr. Justin?" And so I'm asking, I'm like, "Dad, who is that?" And he said, "That's Steve Zaw. That's the man I reached down in the fog and picked him up. Gonna die." What was he showing every time? I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. You brought something along that I couldn't provide for myself. Do you understand what grace is now? God, we were all in the fog. You remember being in the fog? Maybe you're in the fog now. You done fell out your boat, and you don't know how you're going to make it. I want to tell you that Almighty God, he sends grace our way. And he picks us up out the cold, muddy river and fog. And our life is certainly we're going to perish. We have no hope. But thanks be to God, without any effort of my own, he picked me up out of that stuff. And I want to be grateful today. I want to let them know how much I love them. So folks want to, listen, don't let anybody question your integrity toward God and your seriousness about going to church. If folks ask me, I can't help it. I can't help it. I live and I breathe. I can't help but want to live for God every day of my life because of that's what he done for me. Not what he's still doing, not to mention what he's still doing. If he did nothing, the fact that he saved me should be enough to keep everybody motivated. Anybody motivated today? If you're not, I hope after today you get motivated about the grace effect. Because when grace gets on you, it's something about it. You're going, why? How could God love me so much after what I've done? How could he love me and care about me after the mistakes I made? You and I can't do enough good to get the grace of God. It's freely given. We must freely receive it. Who can have this? Everyone. The enemy's lied to people all their lives saying, you can't. They can, but you can't. But you, how many thank God we have the grace? How many know somebody needs grace? Why don't you tell them they have it? It's not something God's got to do. He's already done it. It belongs to them. They can have it. All they got to do is live in it. So what am I doing? What am I doing different? I'm living in the grace. That's what I'm doing. Did I do anything to deserve the grace? None. I didn't do anything. You say, well, you're a pretty good guy. It doesn't make a difference how pretty good you are. Do you understand that? It don't make a difference to God how pretty good you are. I did nothing for grace. Absolutely nothing. It was a gift. Now, what I do after that? Now, if you want to know what I've been doing, I've been trying my best to obey. That's what I'm doing. I'm just being obedient. Why did I come here today? I want to obey. Why do I get up and I read my Bible? I want to obey. Why do I pray? I want to obey. Why do I tell people about Jesus? I want to obey. All those things are just being obedient. You can't do those things to get grace. Grace was given to you before you did anything good. Let me understand that. Is this grace getting a hold to you now? I don't care where you go. You can move to another country. You can climb on the highest mountain, go into the deepest jungles. You can hide behind the biggest tree you can find, go in the darkest cave you can get in, and grace is still grace. That's what's so good about God. So don't tell me you done went too far. Don't tell me you done got so deep in sin, it doesn't make a difference how deep you got. It doesn't make a difference how many things you've ever done wrong in your life. One thing is for certain, God's grace, a fact. Is powerful. It's awesome. And I'm so glad. So the same grace got me, same grace got you. No different. All folks who go around and say, boy, I just wish God could love me like he loves Pastor Jesse. I'm going to tell you, he loves you. You just been blinded by the devil. You don't realize how much he loves you. How many starting to feel the love of God already? You feel him just put his arm around you. That's grace. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. So keep these things in mind. But when we're dealing with this, we're talking about, remember, it is the truth that sets us free. John 8:32 says that the truth sets us free. Then the question is, what is truth? So I want you to keep that in mind. We're going to answer that in just a little bit. Is this helping anybody already? So who can make it? Who can survive? Who can make it and live forever and ever with Christ for all eternity? Who can do that? If you're here today and you want it, it belongs to you because God... Everybody say, God, he gave grace. That's what's so good about God. Now, how can we understand grace, or how can grace be something that we can get our mind wrapped around? We couldn't do it unless there was a man who could show us the way. Who knows who that man is? That man is Jesus. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? He's the one had to show us the way. And I'm so thankful of that. And how many of the laws did he obey? All of them. He obeyed them all. So don't start out saying, well, you know, you just can't keep the law. You don't get grace because you kept the law. How many understand that? You don't get grace because you kept the law. Even if you could, you don't get grace. The grace is a gift. It's free. It starts out with grace. And that's what God's been doing. So when did he give grace to us? Well, he didn't give grace after you messed up. He gave grace before you were born. Grace was in the plan of God, the purpose of God. And these are issues that we have to make sure that we continue to grab hold to and understand. What about that James 1:25? Before I move on, let me read that verse. James chapter 1, verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So we got to make sure, and this is James talking about faith, having faith. So we know, for by grace are ye saved through faith. You got to trust and believe that God is going to do exactly what he said. Let me tell you, I can see already we're going to get far on our number points. You heard me tell this story a long time ago. I've probably told this story a dozen times since I've been preaching. But it goes right here. It goes right here. You remember I told a story of this famous tightrope walker. He's famous. And everybody knew that he was the best. They just, when he'd step out and the light would come on him, and they would applaud. Everybody gathered around, and he's going to walk on this tightrope with a wheelbarrow. And everybody's, I mean, they said, and so the announcer said, "Do y'all believe he can do it?" And everybody applauds. And the crowd is just, their voices are all lifted because they know he's the best. So he's on that tightrope, and he's got the wheelbarrow on. He says it again. "Do y'all believe he can make it across?" And everybody's roaring. He's absolutely the best. He said, "Well, listen, I need someone to get in the wheelbarrow." Uh-oh. All of a sudden, he's not the best, maybe. I'm not sure. If he wants to go on his own with the wheelbarrow empty, go on and have fun. But you want me in the wheelbarrow? That's a big difference, ain't it? Now, I just clapped, said he was the best. I just said there's no problem. I know he can make it, but I don't know if he can make it with me in the wheelbarrow. You see, there's a big difference now. See, some folks believe as long as they don't have to do anything. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. Is this helping anybody? I believe. You believe in Jesus? I believe. Well, James, if you read that whole book of James, it's a very short book. He said the devil believes, but he ain't in the wheelbarrow. It don't say it like that, but it, you know, I hope you get my point. The devil believes. Is he automatically saved? No, he don't want to abide by the precepts or the laws or obey nothing. He believes, but he don't abide by anything. A person who believes obeys. So what is God saying? He says, "Listen, there's no way I'm going to fail." How many believe God is the absolute best? Is there anybody above God? Can we look past God and see something? No. So God provides grace. How did he get it to us? Through his only begotten Son. That's how he gets it to us. What do we have to do? Get in the wheelbarrow. That's faith. That's faith. You saying to God, "I'm with as long as I'm with you, it doesn't matter. I trust what you said. You said you're the best. You can't fail. How can you fall? You can't fail. It's impossible for him to fail." So he said, "Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you." So he gives his only begotten Son. "And he shall not fail." And they did everything they could to discourage him, distract him. They lied about him. They did all sorts of things to Jesus. But he didn't fail. And so now I want you to know, by faith, all of us, we can't just believe in God. People say, "All you got to do is believe." No, you got to respond. You got to react. You got to get from where you are. It's easy to be in the stands going, "Yeah, he's the best." Then he says, "Get out your stands and get in the wheelbarrow." The clap goes away, don't it? You get a little nervous. It's all right to be nervous. It's all right. When you get in that wheelbarrow, your clap might not be so loud and you're nervous. And you holding on, the fingerprints will be on the side of that thing. You ever been there serving God? I mean, they're just doing like that. And you're looking back. And I always tell people, don't jump. Don't jump. You jump, you're certain death. You're certainly going to fail. And it's wobbling. You don't think it looked like the cable was wobbling and looked like he was going to fail? When they put him on a cross and they drove nails in him. His back had been opened up. Beaten, where he couldn't even recognize him. Just stay in the, you stay in, hold on. You hold on with everything that's in you. But I want to tell you, on the third day, that line quit shaking. And what emerged out of that tomb was the glorified Son of God. Immortal. Never to taste death ever again. He did it for us. We have an example. What do? We follow the head. We follow the leader. Every person in this room can be successful serving God if you quit trying to do it on your own. You got to accept grace. You can't work for grace. And you got to just be obedient. How many want to obey? Just obey the things of God. You find something in the scripture where it says for you to do it, you do it with everything that's in you. When you're doing it, is that gaining salvation? No. That's appreciating salvation. You got towed in. You got towed in with no effect. You didn't do that. It was done for you. You got pulled out the cold river. It was done for you. Somebody walked across a tightrope with you in the wheelbarrow. It was done for you. I mean, thank God for that. Is this helping anybody today? I don't know about you, but I want to get saved before I leave. I just want to tell God I'm in. Just to make sure you know I'm signing up again. Give me that. I'm signing up because I know this is a real thing. And what God wants to do for us is he wants to live in us and show us and direct us so we're not trying to do it on our own. Amen? Is this helping you? Tell somebody next to you, say, I'm so glad you're here today. Number five, the law is the truth. The law is the truth. Psalms 119:42 says it best. What it says there, your righteousness is everlasting. It's how long? It's everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Your law is truth. Remember we talked about the law is perfect? We talked about it. Now it's talking about the law is truth. And so these are important principles for us to look at. Let me give you a verse to go with that one. Go to Malachi. Chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, true instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. He turned many back from iniquity. And so I want you to see that what it's saying there is that the true instruction was in his mouth and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. Why? Because the law is truth. So what was he teaching here? He was teaching the precepts of the laws of God and what God had instructed. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 20, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth, having the knowledge of the truth. And so here's another place where we see this being dealt with as it deals with the law. It's the knowledge and of the truth. So keep those things in mind. Another place we can look at is Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse number 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So he asked the question. He said, you are going, everything's going good, but who hindered you from obeying the truth? So what does it describe the law as? I'm giving you these verses just to show you. What is it described as? Truth. So we ask the question, what is truth? Thy word is truth. So if I'm talking about the word of God, I'm talking about the law of God. Am I talking about the same thing? Yes. Who wants to do away with the word? Anybody? How much should be taken away from the word? He said none, but it's amazing we want to take the law away. I don't know how we do that. What part is that? So if I'm talking about the law of God or the precepts of God or the testimony of God, I'm talking about the word of God. Yet he says, don't take any of my word away. But we say, you know what? We don't want the law anymore. We just want the word. Now, that wouldn't make sense, would it? Right? Does it make sense at all? So if you had the water sitting there, throw me that bottle. So I want the bottle of water. I need the bottle of water. But I don't want the bottle of water, but I want the bottle of water. But I want the water because I need the water. And I must have the water, but we've done away with the water. That doesn't make any sense to me. And these are the things that's been happening over the years. And we got to be careful. We got to go back and make sure we're not doing that anymore. And this is the things that we just, you know, it amazes me that this goes on for year after year after year. And we never check ourselves to figure out that's how we've been sounding. It doesn't make any sense. We've been sounding that we need the laws of God. We need his word. And we need to understand we must obey him and keep his commandments. Amen? He said, if you love me, you do what? Keep my commandments. These are simple things. How many love the Lord? Then what should we do? Keep his commandments. That's what we should do. We don't have to say, well, you know, I'm going to do something for them. I want to do. You don't do it for anybody else. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. We don't keep the, you know, people keep the traditions of men over the things of God. And that amazes me. And we put a lot of weight on traditions of men. What man says, we put a lot of weight, we have a lot of commitment. But when it comes to the things of God, it's very difficult for us to keep his laws and his command. And we want to make sure that we're not doing that. Amen? Let's do one more, and then we'll close. Number six, the law is the way. The law is the way. And I want you to keep this in mind, this verse, Exodus 18:20. Says, teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. So he's given us this information for us to understand about him being the way. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Verse number one, it says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless. Whose way is blameless. So again, the law, dealing with the law, is the way. And we want to keep that in mind. It's the way. In Mark chapter 12, and I'm skipping around verses here. Maybe next time we can cover more of these. Mark chapter 12. Verse 14, Mark 12, verse 14. And they came and said to him, teacher, we know that you are truthful and deferred to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. That's what they spoke to him. Said, you teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? So they were questioning Jesus, trying to get him in a trick and trick him. So, again, what did they emphasize or what did they bring up? They brought up man's traditions versus the way. So what was Jesus, what they told him that he was doing? He says, you teach the ways of God. All right? That, they were clear on that. That's what he taught. But then they say, is it lawful to pay the poll tax to Caesar? We're going back to the traditions of men that was added in and what they would do, what was required of them. Should we or shouldn't we? Is, should the church be separated and all that? But again, here's what was brought in and what was Jesus teaching? The way. So the law is the way. Is there another way? No, Jesus said it this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So keep that in mind. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's stand together. I want to do something here this morning by way of just praying and giving God the glory and thanks. I pray that this morning that you got a hold to this grace effect. This is a long series. It takes some time to go through it. But as we go through it, you're going to understand more about the grace of God. Remember, everybody's been in the same condition. We've all been in some terrible ways. Number one, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in here that we haven't sinned and fell short of God's glory. That's just the way it is. We're there. And the enemy has tried everything he could to keep us sidetracked, distracted from the truth. But I want to tell you the truth is this. Grace has been given to humanity. Grace has been given to us. When the world was going, terribly wrong in Noah's day, he said, I look at the world and there's nobody that's good. He said, I'm going to have to destroy man off the face of the earth. He's got to be bad. Because we live in a society today that's pretty bad. There's things, real bad things happening all around the world. There's people who are real bad people that do a lot of bad things to people. And it's, so we live, just think about it. God said in Noah's day, it was so bad, I have to destroy man off the face of the earth. But what happened to Noah? He said, Noah found grace in my sight. That is incredible to me. See, we think grace is a new thing. After Christ come, then we have grace. Grace been around for a long time. Do you understand that? Grace is the leading thing that God has established in the plan that's been put in place. When that plan, as how many know grace, is a God's way of extending himself in his glory. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. You can't experience the grace without realizing that's part of the glory of Almighty God. That's part of his glory. When you look into my glory, he said, you'll be instantly changed. Let me say that again. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. What was the effect of that? Grace. What happened when you accepted grace? You got what? Instantly changed. What do I get changed from? You were definitely going to die the second death. I was going to die. You was going to die. What is there? Any coming back from the second death? There's no coming back. But I've been freed from that. Has the second death have any hold on me? No. I've been freed from that because I've accepted the grace of God. Now, how am I living that out? By faith. The just shall live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing come by the what? Word of God. So all these things are important to us. And so I just gave you the word of God this morning. I should begin to share with you the precepts and the laws of God, how important they are. And I want you to understand, every person in here, we've all been there. We've been in that spot where we were broke down, drifting in the river with no hope. And somebody come along and hook a rope to us and towed us in. How many know we ought to be thankful for that? Part of being thankful is saying, you know what? I can't have my way in this way. Right? And that's what we want to keep. We want to keep the way we want to do things, but still have God's way. Well, that's where it comes into where God says, you got to decide. You want a blessing or a curse? I lay before you blessings and cursings. And he says, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. That's what he tells us. Then there's a time in our life where we were thrown out. I mean, we were definitely going to die. We're going down for the last time, and you started crying out, "Help! Help!" Are you crying out today for help? I'm going to tell you, he hears your cry. The Bible said that the children of Israel were enslaved for over 400 years. And all of a sudden, Moses is on the backside of a desert somewhere tending the flock. And a bush began to burn, and he went over to investigate what was going on, and a voice spake to him. He said, "I heard the cry of my people. I heard them, help. Oh, God, help us. They've been enslaved for over 400 years. I heard the cry. You go get them." That sounds like grace to me. Did God put them there? He didn't put them there. It was decisions they made. It was decisions that they made. God said, "But I'm going to get them out of there. You go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Well, I want to tell you, I feel something this morning. I've been feeling it all morning. We're going to serve notice on the Pharaohs, those who think they're in charge and think they're running everything. We're going to let the devil know he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And we're saying and declaring, I hope we can have one voice in this place today that will say, "Let my people go." I want you to know you are his people. You've been held on for a long time. Anybody can remember when you were being held bondage, slave to sin? You remember that? Thank God for freedom. Amen. Freedom. Nobody wants to see that. And we owe it to our children. We owe it to the next generation coming up that we take a stand. Well, I'm so thankful that he reached down and pulled me out of that muddy river. I was going to certainly die, and he gave me a new chance. I was a man grown up, grown man. And I remember still, if that man saw my dad, I don't care where we were, he always came and said, "Thank you, Jesse." Mm-hmm. All those years it went with him. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that man's a living or not anymore. Is he? I'd like to see him. I'd like to bring him to a church service and tell that story. I don't even know if he's serving God. I don't know. I know if I would be him, I would be serving God. I'd be saying, "Thank you, Jesus." I'd be in the wheelbarrow saying, "Go, God." How many are ready to go with God? Today is a day that we can say, you know what? It's not about who's not doing it. It's about us reigniting a flame and a fire and a passion for God. How many would, you know, when you get home and you hit the lights and all of a sudden you feel glory just come in that room and God just wraps himself around you. That is not because somebody hyped you up. It don't take a band to bring that in. It takes obedience. All you got to do is obey. You try it. You try it. You get home and you try it. You try it. You get your little quiet time and you turn those lights out and you say, "Okay, God, I just want to be with you." He's going to flood you with his presence. That's the glory of God. And that's amazing. And I just want to encourage you today. Why don't we all just rededicate our lives completely to God? Wouldn't that be great? We say, "Lord, I know I told you this 100 times already. I'm going to tell you again. I love you. And I know you love me." All you parents in here, all the parents in here, you know what? Do it for your children's sake, that they'll see you do something different. You want to train them up in the way they should go, that when they're older, they won't depart from the faith. Let them see that we're going to live for God. We're going to experience the grace that's been awarded to us. We're going to be thankful and be obedient to that. I just want to love you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness. Is he good to you? Couldn't you imagine a day? Just this day. Ever since I got here today, I've just been feeling the presence of God in such a way. Is so good to us. And I'll tell you, if I was going so many different ways, with us this morning. And as we got started, the Lord was beginning to remind me of them stories. And I this was so not what we were going to, the direction we was going to go, but God knew.
Yes, He knew.
He knew before we even got here what we needed to hear. So I want to tell you this. What do I do then? What do I do when I dedicate my life to God? What do I do when I make a commitment to God? You accept. That's what you do. You accept grace. Come to the realization that you can't do anything to get it. You can't do a single thing. You can't behave to get it. You can't do nice things. You can't go work in the soup kitchen and feed the homeless to get it. None of that gets you grace. Grace is given by God. No matter what we've done, He gave me grace. Now, what do? I accept grace by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. So if you're here today and you would simply accept the grace of God, accept what I told you He did for you. I'm sharing this wonderful, wonderful story with you. Then what happens to you? Salvation is awarded to you. You are exempt from the second death. You mean just like that? Yeah. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith. Then what do I do? Obey. Obey. Say, so what being obedient is? Well, He says that we should live for Him. We should live for Him. We've lived for everything else in our life. We've done our thing. But how many want to live for Him? Some folks think if I live for Him, somehow I'm going to be saved. No, no, no. Don't ever believe that. You can't live for Him enough to be saved. How do you get saved? For by grace. See, folks want to make this thing hard, but you got to jump through hoops in order to get there. No, there's no hoops to jump through. You got to realize what He did. Now, if you want to jump, you can. But that's part of being obedient to God. I'm going to ask you if you do something for me. If you're here today and you say, you know what? It's time for me to live in the grace that God awarded to me. It's time for me to do it with everything that's in me. And when you step out of your seat, you're renouncing all the things that the enemy's had attached to you. It's all broken. What authority does the devil have to keep a hold on you? None. He has no authority. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. And so I want you to understand these are principles. These are important areas of our life that we have to receive in. We have to accept in. This is what God has established for all of us. So how's about it? I'm going to get y'all to come.